that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody. It is wonderful to see you all here today, and it's great that you all have joined us online, those of you who have, whether you're local or whether you're many states away. We thank you for just making this a priority in your life, and thank you for your interest in the things of God. We have been talking about being rooted in the things that make the biggest difference, being rooted in the heart of God. We've talked about the importance of seeking those things that are going to cause our lives to be more stable, more secure, more of what God is calling us to do. I asked you the question at the beginning of this series, where are you rooted? And another question that was related to that is the question, what do you believe? What do you believe about life? What do you believe about others? What do you believe about God? Because in answering that question, you will in large part be determining where you're going to plant your roots in the things that are going to provide stability and security in your life, or whether your life is going to be out of kilter. We've talked about being rooted in general. We talked a couple of weeks ago about being rooted in Jesus and what that means. And being rooted in Jesus is believing and understanding that in Jesus we have everything that we need. Being rooted in Him, as we read from the book of Colossians, we have been given completeness or fullness in Him. In Jesus, I am 100% justified because of the work that He has done to make me right in the eyes of God. Even though I am a sinner, even though I've fallen short of His will and His perfect glory, in Jesus, I am full. In Jesus, I am complete. I have everything I need. And so the challenge to us, to you and me, is are we accessing all those things that have been made available to us? Last week, appreciate Charles Prince preaching last week, talking about the Word of God and being rooted in the Word of God. I think Charles is here this morning. Did I see him, or are they out of town? No, Charles is not here. I really appreciated him speaking. Next week, I'm going to be out of town again, and Rick Moore is going to be talking about being rooted in God's love. But this morning, I want to talk about being rooted in rest, rooted in stillness. That's the big thought today. Being rooted in quietness, being rooted in pause. In a lot of ways, it's could be very, very hard these days to be like that tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaves don't wither, and whatever they do, they prosper. And so we've been talking about being rooted like a tree and looking at all these aspects of what it means to be rooted. I think it's interesting, though, when it says about yielding fruit, it says yielding fruit, this is from Psalm 1, yielding fruit in season. I want you to think about this a minute. A tree, a plant, but let's talk about a tree, has a growth cycle, has a life cycle. It doesn't stay the same, doesn't do the same thing all the time. I had Rob Brown share some information with me a couple of weeks ago in talking about grass and growing grass and having a healthy lawn. He ought to know something about that. And I didn't really realize that what happens in the winter, in the cold months, is just as important for that grass and its growth as what happens during the warm or the growing season. So I had, for the first time this year, I had Rob aerate my grass. And basically, for those of you who don't know what that is, that's what happens when they pull these plugs out of your yard. You've seen those before all over the place. Just pulls a plug, and then he put down fertilizer for the winter. not really realizing, I thought everything just kind of quit and went dormant, but Rob says that during the colder months, when there's not growth at the top, the roots are being developed in the bottom. And so, and like a tree does not always bear fruit. A tree bears fruit in season, but a tree, even in its dormancy and its stillness, is doing something. Life is like that. The way God has created us, we are created for change. We are created to live life in a rhythm. Think about the breath that you take. You know how many breaths you take in an average day? The average person takes how many breaths? Oh, no, I don't know that one, but I do know this one. Heartbeats. Heartbeat. How many times does the average person heart beat a day? Anybody want to guess? Do the math real quick. About 100,000 times, depending on the person. Imagine that. That heart is working so hard, 100,000 beats in a day, no telling how many in a week or in a year. And yet, even with that movement, and the heart is a hard-working muscle, the heart doesn't constantly beat. The heart relaxes just for a little bit between beats. And that's called your diastolic, when you're reading your blood pressure. That's your resting heart rate, the blood pressure for your heart when it rests. We're made that way. Creation is that way. And we look at the seasons. After the daytime, there is night. After spring, there is summer. And so on. And life also has a rhythm. And God created us to have a rhythm in our lives that produces fruit and produces positive qualities in our life that others can notice and can make our lives better. And yet we are so challenged with things that get in the way of that. And one of those things is our attention spans. I love this little meme that I saw online. It says, I don't have a short attention span. I just, look, a squirrel. And when I saw this, I automatically thought, I hate to say this, Rob, but I thought of Rob Rice. He jokes about this himself, and he will tell you wherever Rob is. I think he's here this morning. He's right there. And if you weren't here, I would really be talking about you. But Rob Rice admits that he has a little bit of an attention problem, a little bit of an attention deficit disorder. I don't know if you've been officially diagnosed with that. But you don't need a diagnosis. I can tell you right now, you have it, okay? And I'm a lot like Rob. I'm maybe not quite as extreme as Rob is, but sometimes I get distracted too. But there's so much out there. You know, we want to live rooted. We want to live planted lives. We want to live lives that are in a good rhythm. And yet sometimes it's hard to do because, quite frankly, of a lot of the distractions out there. I've talked a little bit about that in previous lessons, but I just want to share some more stats with you. The average student can focus on a given task for only 2 minutes. All right, y'all hear that up here? 2 minutes. So statistics say in the 5 minutes I've already been up here, y'all have gotten distracted and thought of about a lot of other things other than what I'm saying up here. Now tell me, is that true? Raise your hand. You kids up here, yeah, you've thought about other things. You probably haven't even heard me at all. 2 minute attention spans. Online screen focus lasts for an average of 40 seconds. 40 seconds. The average 25 to 34-year-old checks his or her phone 50 times a day. I bet it's higher than that. The average 25 to 34-year-old spends 2.5 hours per day on social media. Excessive device usage is leading to decreases in marital and relational satisfaction. Loneliness is an epidemic, with 54% of people saying they always or sometimes feel that no one knows them well. Now, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be talking about being rooted in community or being rooted in relationship. And that will be so important as we move forward next week to being rooted in love. On average, we spend 650 hours per year reading and responding to emails, and we touch, swipe, and tap our screens an average of 2,617 times. We live in a distracted age. We have a lot of options. One of the reasons for the popularity of apps such as TikTok or Snapchat is because they can be done quickly. And it's not a whole lot of stuff. If we have a short attention span, I don't want to watch a 5-minute video. I can watch a 40-second video. And TikTok and other platforms like that have exploded because it's so easy to get distracted. What about this one? Anybody here ever feel stressed or overworked? Raise your hand if this week you felt any stress at any time. Go ahead, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, that's about 3/4 of you, and the other 1/4 of you, you know, the book of Revelation says don't be a liar. So I don't know anybody who doesn't feel stressed. Sometimes it's worse than at other times. Sometimes it just kind of piles on. I know in terms of work, in this rhythm of work and rest, people are overworked today because there is a labor shortage. And so just in the last several months, coming out of the pandemic, people are vying for more jobs. People are not going back to work, and people are doing more work for less hours. And it's causing a lot of stress, even things we can't control. I think about what happened during the pandemic, and I think about my daughter, my son-in-law, and their family, and what they went through, like a lot of people during the pandemic, except during the pandemic, they had 3 kids. They had number 4 during the pandemic. Catherine had a very, very difficult delivery. It was pretty traumatic for her. The epidural didn't work. There were other complications. This is the first time that we were not able to be at the hospital when she gave birth to Clara. And it was tough. It was hard. They came home, still dealing with the pandemic, so they end up homeschooling, and they're continuing to homeschool now, but they are homeschooling with, at that time, 2 small children, 1 a toddler, 2 in diapers, 2 older kids. They're homeschooling. Ben's having to make adjustments with coming to the office and working at home. It was pretty chaotic, if I could say so myself. And I would like to say, you know, I offered them tons of help during that time, and I helped a little bit, but Jeannie reached out to them and helped them a lot during some of that that stressful time. We're stressed, we're overworked, and so that leads me to this question. What's the rhythm of your life? What's the rhythm of your life right now? Are you centered and secure? Do you feel peaceful and relaxed? Or is it more of this? Do you feel more like you're in a state of chaos, maybe a little out of balance? Where would you fit yourself in this category right now? Well, one of the ironies of all this is statistics say we have more leisure time than ever. I know it's hard to believe, because I know one thing that a lot of us say, I don't have time to do this, I don't have time to do that, I don't have enough time to get done all the things I want to do in a day, I feel like I'm running a rat race or jogging on the hamster wheel, whatever that is. But the truth is, we do have more leisure time available, but what we do is we fill that leisure time with more stuff and more activities, not only for ourselves, but we do it for our kids. So we get all this free or spare time or leisure time, and then we fill it with more things, and we feel just as stressed as we would if we didn't have all that leisure time. It can be truly, truly difficult. Let me ask you a question. Are you able to relax? I mean, really relax. Can you go on a vacation and truly enjoy the vacation? Or when you go on the vacation, are you thinking about what you need to do when you get back, or the things that didn't get done that need to get done, and you're feeling stressed about being on vacation and not being able to do the work that you need to do, so you're working on vacation? What about the rest and work balance? How are you doing on that? Do you enjoy, are you enjoying life? I mean, are you enjoying life? Important questions. Very, very important questions. And so that gets to this main topic this morning, and that's the topic of rest. It's the topic of pausing. It's the topic of being still. There's a song that's in our songbooks. It's been around for years. I don't know when it was written, but it says, "There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God." Could you use a little more rest in your life? Think of a place in your life that is most peaceful or serene. Maybe it is a scene like this. This morning in Bible class, Tom in his class had a picture of just a beautiful garden scene. And I couldn't help but hear, I think it was Nora, who said in class, she said, "That is beautiful. I want to be there. It looks peaceful." Was that Nora? I want to be there. It's peaceful. It sounds good. It sounds good. We all want peace. We want serenity. We want to feel balanced in our lives and not feel frantic in our lives. We want to feel productive without being so stressed and overworked that it doesn't matter what we do, we simply aren't enjoying it. That principle of rest is found in Scripture. And as was mentioned this morning, the Sabbath was a memorial. The Sabbath was a reminder. It was created by God not to be difficult or not to be another law that would trip people up. The Sabbath law was a gift from God. The Sabbath was important. It was a part of the old covenant law, and I know, I realize when I start talking about Sabbath, some of you may be tempted to think, whoa, don't talk about the Sabbath. The Old Testament. That's Old Testament, that's part of the old law, and we're not bound by the Sabbath. In fact, in the book of Colossians, from close to the verses that we were looking at a couple of weeks ago, Paul says, listen, don't judge anyone by what they eat or drink or a Sabbath. He's talking about some of the Jews who were Christians who were binding some of these things on those who were Gentiles. And Paul says, don't do that. You can't add to Christ. But there certainly would have been nothing wrong with the Jewish Christian observing the Sabbath if they wanted to as a part of their heritage. But the fact is, the Sabbath principle is something that transcends Old Testament, New Testament, any covenant. The principle of rest. It goes back to creation. And so when God had finished His work of creation, we're told in the creation account that God rested, God ceased from His work, from His creative work on the seventh day. God didn't need to rest. But God did cease. And it said that He, when He looked down upon His creation, He said, it's good. It's good. And so God enjoyed the labor, the work that He did in creating this magnificent world, this magnificent universe. And so we need Sabbath. We need rest. One of the most controversial things that Jesus faced in His ministry was related to the Sabbath. And so they had created through centuries of oral law and writing those down and passing that on, what the law taught, what it meant. You had the old covenant law, you had the Scriptures, but then you had writings that were based on oral tradition that were passed down from generation to generation and rabbi to rabbi that explained the law. and applied the law. And there was nothing wrong with that. We have books about the Bible. We have preachers getting up to preach and expound on what's in the Bible. It's something that's fine, except when what the preacher says or what the rabbi says or what mom and dad said or what tradition says, this is how it ought to be, when really it's not there. It's not in the Word. It's not in the book. And Charles last week talking about being grounded, being rooted in the Word, that's so, so very important. But they had created a whole system of laws and rules around the Sabbath that made the Sabbath difficult. Folks wanted to know what was work, what was rest, I need to rest. And so they were told they could do this, 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 don't do this, 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 this. Actually, you go to Old Testament, there's not that much detail about the Sabbath law. But it was important that they rest, that they pause, that they take a breath. And so Jesus, when they were accusing him of breaking the Sabbath or not being respectful of the law of God or the Sabbath law, Jesus said, listen, the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not just a rule so that you can obey it and, you know, somehow be right with God because you're obeying the rule. The Sabbath was a gift of rest. It was a gift of time for reflection. It was a gift to focus on God. It was a gift to worship. It was a gift to spend time with family. And so there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus respected the Sabbath. He was not breaking the Sabbath law when he plucked grain as they walked, although some might have considered it harvesting and work. Jesus says, you've missed the spirit of the law. The Sabbath is a gift from God because you're not created, you're not intended to be on the go all the time. It's hard. It's hard, though. It's hard to get out of that rhythm. You may be like me when you're driving a car and you want to get somewhere. I don't like traffic. I never have liked traffic. I think it ought to be against the law. I think they ought to make a law against traffic. Or folks just ought to know when I'm driving where I'm going and they just need to go some other way or get out of the way. What is it about me or us, you, that you don't like sitting still in a car? I mean, I'm not even talking about maybe when you have an important, you know, appointment that you have to be at. You have to be at the doctor's office by 3. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about just maybe getting somewhere. And you're stuck in traffic and it's like, traffic. And if you're like me and you have a choice of moving and adding 10 minutes to your trip, I will do that versus sitting there and getting there 10 minutes early. Because I want to move, right? I want to move. And life's not meant to be that way. Jesus had a rhythm himself. It was a rhythm of pause. It was a rhythm of solitude. It says, and this isn't the only time he did it. Early in the morning, it was still dark. He got up, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everybody's looking for you. It's like, he couldn't get away. He wanted to be alone. This isn't the only time that he did it, and he didn't just do it in the morning. On another occasion, I think of what Jesus said to the disciples in the same book, in Mark, and it says that they were busy, there were people that needed to be fed. They gathered the people, they reported to Jesus what had happened. And then it says in verse 31 of Mark 6, then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And then the verse from this morning from Psalm 46. Be still. Be still. And know that I'm God. Psalm 46, a psalm of disruption, a psalm of chaos, a psalm with uncertainty. Nations are in an uproar, the earthquakes, and yet God is there. I don't know what storm you may be facing in your life today, right now, individually or as a family. You may be feeling chaos all around you, but pay attention to this. God is with you, and you could recognize that more and be benefited more by that truth when you're still. Be still and know that I am God. So why is it important to pause, to cease, to stop? Literally, that's what that Hebrew word that's translated still means. That's what it means. Stop. Still. Cease. Be still and know that I'm God. Why is that important? Well, it's important, number one, because we need to pause to listen and pay attention. You know, when our mind's constantly going or we're always on the go, we're not paying attention and we're not listening to God and we're not listening to others the way we need to listen. I am up in my 60s now, and I guess with some people who get older, certain things start happening to their body that they don't want to happen. And one of those things for me is I don't hear as well as I used to. And at times it's almost comical. If I'm in a room full of people and there's talking, I probably need to get my ears checked, but I will one of these days. People are talking. I'm not hearing. If I'm talking, I may be as close to, you know, a foot or two from Dave Anderson here. If there's a crowd of people in the room and we're talking and they're all talking, I'm not hearing what Dave is saying very well. And Jeannie knows this. I don't think she hears as well as she used to either, but no, that's not being critical. Come on, guys. Not being critical. But it almost gets comical at times in our house. I can be at the kitchen sink, the water's running, and Jeannie's in the other room. You know how soft her voice is. And she'll say something, and the water's running. She knows I'm in there. She knows. It's like, okay, do I turn off the water and say, what? Like I say a bunch of times. Or do I just keep running the water and pretend I can't hear her? Or... I'm in the shower. She does this when I'm in the shower. She's in the bathroom, maybe doing something there in the mirror. I'm in the shower, and she's talking to me. And I'm thinking, what do I do? Do I say, what, again, for the millionth time? Or I'm not going to turn off the shower and be cold. I'm not going to do that. So there's a difference in hearing and listening. But there are times when I do hear her, but I'm not listening. There's a difference in hearing and listening. We need to be able to hear, and we need to be able to listen. And listening is paying attention. Sometimes Jeannie will say to me, she'll say something to me, or I'll say something to her. I'll say, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? And Jeannie will say, yeah, I know about so-and-so. I told you that last week. And I said, no, you didn't. You didn't tell me. She said, yeah, I did. And I said, okay, maybe you did. Maybe I just wasn't what? Paying attention. We pause. We need to get still to listen. To listen to God. I think quiet time is so very important. And I'm not one of those people, when talking about having quiet time with God, I don't want to be a legalist about that. and, you know, prescribe some type of quiet time that you have to do every morning, you know, do it so many minutes. But if you don't have some kind of quiet time rooted in your life, then you're missing out. Because it's in that quiet time of reflection, maybe just taking a Bible and a journal and sitting down in a quiet, peaceful place with silence, total silence, and just focusing on a verse of Scripture and just saying, God, what do I need to learn from this? What are you trying to teach me? How do I need to apply this? Or maybe we're praying for wisdom or direction or guidance in some way, but we're not listening to what God is saying to us. And I know a lot of us get nervous when we start talking about, you know, God talking to us, or God saying something to us. I can truly say I don't think I've ever heard the audible voice of God, but I've felt like He's sending me a message and I understand something. If I've been praying for wisdom about something, I believe God will answer that and reveal something to me through people or circumstances or maybe something I find in Scripture. But if I'm not taking that time to pause and do that regularly and instilling that discipline that will spread out through my whole life, I may be totally missing what He's trying to say to me. It's important to stop and see so we can listen to God's voice. And here's another reason we need to pause and be still. We need to pause and practice pausing in our lives to release control to God. That's what Psalm 46 is all about. It's about the chaos. It's about the disaster, uncertainty, the roaring. How it's described in here is the mountains falling into the heart of the sea, and the waters roaring and foaming, and the mountains quaking with their surging. Nations are in an uproar. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. In a way, when we stop and pause, we are giving control to God. And we're trusting God. And we're waiting on God. We can't control everything, but it seems like, I know I'm this way sometimes, many times dealing with a difficult situation, I will act, I will do, I will panic, I will take steps, you know, kind of like with a target, instead of ready, aim, fire, what I do is ready, fire, and then aim. We pause to release control and grow deeper in our trust of God. And for you right now, that just may simply mean pausing enough just to let God embrace you. Embrace you where your need is. Casting Crowns had a song several years ago. I love the sentiment of the song, but the song talks about all the chaos and all the stuff going on and the problems and the storms. And in that song, they say, just be held. Let God hold you. Let God hold you. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. It's in that rest, in that quiet, in that stillness that I can discern the voice of God when He is calling me in a certain direction or challenging me to be different, to convict me of sin or selfishness. It's in rest and repentance. Pause to live in the moment and enjoy it. And this is going to be a very quick point. And once again, I'm so guilty when it comes to things like this. Way too often in my life, I am there, but I'm not, I'm here, but I'm not here. I'm there. I'm that way on vacation sometimes. I'm just thinking about what I have to do, what needs to get done. Two or three days before coming back, I'm already kind of like just getting in a semi-panic mode. I'm not enjoying the moment, this moment, this time, right now. Pause, be still. Don't miss the joy of your family or your kids. How many things do we miss? I miss. Because I'm not in the now. I'm not in the present. Pause to be more fruitful. See, pausing is not about it's not about being lazy. It's not about being irresponsible. It's about finding a place, a centeredness in my private life, my inner life, where roots grow that make me a better person, a more productive person, even if that means just getting more sleep and resting. There's so many ways that you can make application here, and I'm not going to get into all these this morning. The lesson's just about done. But all I'd encourage you to do is find a rhythm that fits you. If that means taking 10 minutes every day, sometime, somewhere for quiet time, do that. If that means creating a Sabbath day or a few hours of Sabbath in your life every week, do that. If that means saying no to some things that you're tempted to say yes to because you feel guilty or obligated or somebody's putting the pressure on you to do it, but you know you can't and you know you don't need to. And yet you go ahead and say yes because you don't want so-and-so unhappy or whatever that may be, and you're just adding more chaos and stress to your life. That may mean cleaning some things out of your schedule to where you can make yourself find the time to breathe and slow down. It's okay to be stuck in traffic. It's okay to be still. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon yourselves and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." We're going to meet somebody right now who is finding rest for his soul after we sing a couple of verses. We are just really pumped this morning that Matthew has made the decision to commit his life to Jesus and find rest in Jesus. So let's